Amen. You may be seated. I love to sing of full surrender, for that is the kind of worship that our God accepts. Jeff, it has been an honor to serve with you, a delight to see your heart for God and your heart for His church, the hours you put in, sometimes thankless, sometimes filled with thanksgiving. One of my delights as your dad has been to serve with you. One of my delights as your pastor has been to see your maturity and your commitment to Cloverdale Baptist Church. So I'm very proud of you. Mom and I wanted to share that with you in front of everyone else. So we are very thankful for you and proud of you. Love you, bud. Thank you. Now, with that out of the way and my tears starting to flow, we, as God's people, have been called to war. Now, I suppose saying that is a little pithy in North America because most of us live in a very convenient Christianity. Oh, I would agree with you that the last year and a half have been very difficult. I would agree with you that the battle has intensified because the distractions are so real and so radical. But often in North America, we forget that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but we have a spiritual war that is going on, a spiritual war that is easy to lose sight of and sadly easy to be defeated in when we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. In fact, one of the things that the book of Malachi addresses so clearly is a loyalty to God and a loyalty to the church. It's going to be here to the tabernacle, but that will be in 1 Corinthians 6, the gathered people of God, and a loyalty to how God views life, specifically in the passage we study today, how God views marriage. In fact, in the passage we have to study today, and if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, open them with me, please, to Malachi chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 10 to 16, we find this one word repeated over and over again, faithless or disloyal Israel. And it starts off, and we'll read it and then slow down through it, with the supremacy of God and His ownership of everyone. And then it shows that when we don't acknowledge God, when we don't see Him for who He is, when we don't live life as though He exists, even if we're super religious, even if we're saying the right things, making the right offerings, attending the right church, and doing the right religious things, if we don't have that knowledge and intimate relationship with the living God, then we are being disloyal to Him, and we will find ourselves disloyal to the local church, and then we will find ourselves disloyal to the family and the things that God declares are important. Malachi is a very hard-hitting book. I was saying to one of our elders, I actually prepared these sermons about 2 years ago for last summer. And last summer we entered into the pandemic and all of the attack that that was on the hope of God's people and the fear that sometimes felt overwhelming and then the distraction that it was. And so we shifted our focus into the book of Psalms, putting this series off to this year. And actually entering into the summer, we discussed and prayed whether we should put it off and continue our series on Revelation, and yet weighing heavy on my heart, and I believe inspired by the Holy Spirit and prepared 2 years ago for such a time as this, is this call to renewal, this call for full devotion to God, this call for loyalty to Him and His people and His Word. And so often we're distracted from the battle because of the mundanity of life or the things that are going on around us, and we lose sight of who He is. And when we lose sight of who He is, we will find ourselves, well, the word in this text five times in seven verses, faithless. The word we're going to use as we study it, disloyal. And God longs for a faithful people, not faithful to religion, but faithful to relationship with Him. God longs for this awakening of our hearts so that we will live as though He exists, because He does. God wants us here at Cloverdale Baptist Church. And gathered all around British Columbia, I've heard of churches that aren't yet able to meet that are joining us. I've heard of a number of individuals across Canada and some across the world joining us. For all of us, this is an opportunity to say, I want to live my life with loyalty to God, with loyalty to His people, and with loyalty to His Word, or specifically to the family obligations He's called me to. I would guess if you're anything like me, if you're human, and I think most of us are, that you will find as we study God's word that you fall short. And so I want to remind you, if you have struggled with loyalty to God or loyalty to the local church or loyalty to family, if you have found yourself distracted from the spiritual battle, that we stand in the gospel, and in the gospel we stand free from condemnation and fully devoted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we want to begin here and stay here, even as we look at this tremendous book, even as we're challenged to full loyalty, we want to understand that when we fall short, and we will, if we're honest and we hold the book up as a mirror, when we fall short, we serve a living Savior, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, conquering sin and death, and calls us today forward to live for Him, free from condemnation and full of first love devotion to Him. And so I would guess if the Spirit of God is at work in your life, if you're an authentic believer, that today you will feel the weight of disloyalty to God, and to His bride, and to family as He sees it, to His word. When you do, and we'll finish here, but I want to begin here. When you do, when you feel the tension of your own life, as you look in the mirror of God's word, run to the cross, stay there and cling there. And I think the passion of all of Malachi, and certainly the passion of Cloverdale Baptist Church, is that we would live on mission for the King because He exists, and we know it and experience it and love Him with all of our might. So let's then look at this text together. Again, if you underline in your Bible the repeated word faithlessness, faithless, or could be translated disloyalty to covenant, to God. He starts with the supremacy of God in all things, the ownership of God for us. The verse 10, where he talks about creation, some scholars say this is the creation of the people of Israel, some creation of all things. I think both. And for us to apply, the creation of the local church, which displays the beauty of who He is and is a part of the universal church. Starting verse 10, chapter 2. Have we not all one Father, one God, relational? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless, disloyal to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Covenant, think promise here, even more powerfully, promise in relationship with God and one another. Judah has been faithless. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. Someone who does not love Jesus. The reality of God not so pervading how you feel and think that you're willing to actually be around those who don't love God and don't love His church. May the Lord Yahweh cut off from the tents of Jacob any descendant of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. The religious who aren't living in relationship. Those who ignore the greatness of God and the call to intimacy with Him. May they be cut off from the, if we are going to now put it into our words, the church. Don't let them continue to think they're authentic if they don't truly love God and love the church and love their families. For us, again, I hope, driving us to the cross. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears and weeping and groaning because He no longer regards the offering, accepts it with favor from your hand. You long for deeper intimacy. You long for His blessing. It doesn't come because you don't know Him as your Father and Creator, as your Master. But you say, why does He not? God's answer, It's interesting, in Malachi, this is the book actually that God speaks the most in, the words of God clearly and directly. Of course, we know all of the Bible is the Word of God. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was your witness, a witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, disloyal, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Again, think promise to God, and in this case, to your spouse. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? God active in the wedding and marriages. And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring, discipleship, we would say. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. Let none of you be disloyal to God by being disloyal to those around you, especially those in your immediate family. For the one who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit. Guard your inner being. Guard the part of you at the core of you that should be loyal to God. Guard that. And do not be faithless. Do not be disloyal to God. This is a very strong passage of Scripture, and I want us to walk through it really looking for a recommitment to be those who live relationally rather than religiously, who live in the reality that God is who he says he is, and he is real and alive and calls us into an all-defining relationship with him. Almost an opportunity for us to say, I don't just want to go through the motions. I want to submit to the master. I don't just want to be impacted on Sundays when I sing. I want to be impacted all week as I live my life for his glory. So let us, those who are in spiritual battle, let us awaken our hearts to what the word teaches us today as soldiers of Christ or soldiers for Christ. Hear this cry for loyalty, to not abandon our first love, but to make it supreme in our lives, and then to live as an overflow of that relationship so that those things we do together on Sundays and throughout the week become marked by the master, not just by our traditions. Now remember, in Malachi, to this point, we've seen the love of God, this love that is from him and sovereign and rejected by them. They're not experiencing it. And then we saw that their worship was faulty because they were offering their second best, their leftovers to God. And then we saw that unless he's supreme, unless we believe he's real and truly to the core of our being seek to live for him, we will coast into apathy even while we put down others, and there'll be broken relationships all around. And he carries on with this whole idea. Last Sunday we saw the rebuke to the priests, and we talked about we're all representatives of God. We're all those, if we're truly his, who are to display the beauty of who he is. Now, to get into this text, the first thing I want us to note is what I've just called supreme loyalty, or if you prefer the text's word, supreme faithfulness. And I just said relationship with God. This is where it starts. This is where it stays. We do this now by preaching the gospel to ourselves every day. Here's how the text did it. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Does God really exist? It starts here and stays here because so often in modern Christianity and so often in historic Judaism, and really, we could argue all of those who throughout time have said they follow the one true God struggle with this. It's one of the great demonic attacks. It's a little bit of religion, but not enough to change you. A little bit of religion, enough to condemn others or distract and disparage others, but not enough to make you a radical lover of God and a self-sacrificial lover of others. Don't you know God created you? Don't you know God demands your loyalty in relationship? Bohemian reformer John Huss was a man who believed the scriptures to be from God. supreme in authority, and he died at the stake for this 42nd birthday. He said, renounce your faith and we will let you go. And he refused. And his last words reported to be were these: what I taught with my lips, I seal with my blood. I have been faithful with my lips. Now I'm faithful with my life. And for him, that meant willing to die. For us, I hope it means willing to die. Yes, but willing to live with open hands, saying, I am fully surrendered. My loyalty is his completely and absolutely. God speaks to us in his word. We hear it, we respond, we obey, and we live for him every moment that we exist. Every opportunity in our lives, seen in light of displaying the beauty of who he is. Remember from last Sunday, this idea of displaying the power and glory of his name, of honoring him, of saying, I'm going to use my life to point people to Jesus and the glory of the gospel. I wonder if the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3:14 wasn't referring back to this. There's one Father and God over all. The whole concept then diving into experiencing the love of Christ so that we'll be filled to the fullness of God by him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do you know this God? Are you loyal to this God? Oh, we'll see how it's displayed, because words are weak. And if your life has not been transformed, then perhaps this mirror of Malachi is for you. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15 really ties this into the gospel powerfully. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all. Listen carefully, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. When you understand the richness of the gospel, the Creator, the Father, the Redeemer, then the only relational response is all that I am and all that I have is yours. I want to live my life for your glory. I have been bought with a price. Oh, brother, oh, sister, have you been distracted from the battle? Have you lost your first love, loyalty, and replaced it with something or someone else? Well, you might say, well, how would we know? So let's go there. The second thing we note in this text, and again, remember this faithlessness or faithless or disloyalty five times, just like a machine gun for us to awaken and be first love loyal to God. I've just called this social loyalty or relationship with others. Jesus certainly taught this, right? If you want to sum up the entire Old Testament, how do you do it? Love God supremely with all that you are and all that you have, all your inner being, all your outer life, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So we're shifting there. Your first loyalty, your first love to God. Then, second, to love others here specifically in the church for us. This is a call to die to self, to live for God's glory in love. How does the text call us to do this? Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Here's the question. Why then are we faithless? Why then are we disloyal to one another? Well, because we are not loyal to God. Profaning the covenant of our fathers, that promise to God of first love, total devotion. Judah has been faithless. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, the sanctuary, the dwelling place of the Lord. You see how now all of life is relational according to Malachi? Now for us, what's the sanctuary now? Well, it's not this building, but it's the gathering of the, well, 1 Peter would say the living stones. It's the local church. We become this place where we gather, we love God together, we love one another, and we are loyal to God and loyal to his church. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god, the world has invaded the church. Don't think ethnicity here. Think loyalty. You've decided to be more loyal to the world than the word. May the Lord cut off the tents of Jacob, any descendant of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts, who pretends to play church, but is discipled by the world. I mean, this is so strong. A call to commitment, a call to love, a call to loyalty to God and to those who love Him. See, loyalty to God actually impacts everything else. Most importantly, it impacts those closest to us. And he starts with, I believe, as we make this more applicable to us in the New Testament era, with the local church. And he says, be loyal there and live a life of love there. We see this all over the New Testament. In fact, it so profoundly guides the New Testament that some scholars see it as one of the major themes. I think correctly. Loyalty to God means a loyalty to one another, to His children. That is seen most powerfully displayed in a loyalty to the local church. And so often we can be made to be disloyal because we're not loyal to God and we're hanging out with the world. That's what's happening here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Corrupt. Psalm 1 makes this so profound. If you walk with those who don't love God, then there's a very good chance you'll be more like the world than the Word. Disloyalty to the bride of Christ is always an overflow of disloyalty to God. And almost always, a choice of relationships. Oh, I've seen this practically so many times. Those who choose the world over the Word is often because they have friends who are forcing them or causing them or pressuring them to do that. Met 3 weeks ago with someone who was battling against the local church and was afraid that those who were battling with him would reject him if he chose God's side. That there's a sense of loyalty to God that must drive and define us so strongly that we're not afraid of other people, that we say, I will not fear man, I will choose God. And when I choose God, my love for him will be so strong that it will overflow. And those that love him will be those that I tie myself to, so that our love will display the beauty of who he is and what he has done to the world, the purpose and mission of the church. Oh, that this would awaken in us a new longing to know him and to love one another. He cares if we're faithful to him. He cares if we're faithful to his bride. In fact, he wants us, if we go up in the text, although it's here in verse 12 as well, to literally close the doors or stop offering. Stop playing religious games if we're not relationally driven to him and to one another. Brothers and sisters, here's a good test. When you gather, I'm not talking about here, obviously here we do this with passion, but when you gather alone, is the supremacy of God, the glory of the gospel, the first and most important thing you talk about, the love for God overflowing and just rejoicing in the greatness of who he is? And then does that lead to a building up of the body, a love for his bride that is displayed by constantly self-sacrificially preferring others, dying to self and living for him and living a life of love? God wants so much more than your religious time. He wants to be in an all-defining relationship with you, purchased by blood and driven to conform and transform. And so we want to be loyal to God. We want to be loyal to one another, to those who love him, in our case, in their case, to the people of Israel, to those who are choosing to obey God, in our case, to those who are in the local church that we're part of, committed to. Obviously larger than that, but never smaller than that. And thirdly, and maybe most difficult to preach in our era, although there are many who see the local church as a convenience, so that was hard as well. Stay loyal to marriage. It's interesting he goes here, because if you go to the New Testament, what you discover is that the purpose of marriage is actually to display the beauty of the love of Christ for the church and the church's response to Christ, and this wonderful display of the beauty of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 5 outlines that powerfully. Here, it's discipleship that he refers to, but this covenant of marriage is more important than just two people getting together. It's something that the Spirit of God is actually, literally, a part of. Here's the text. And the second thing you do, you're not only disloyal to one another, disloyal to the people of God. The second thing you do, you cover Yahweh's altar with tears and weeping and groaning because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it. Your religion is useless. These people, Jesus would say later, quoting Isaiah, honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. No favor. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord Yahweh, the personal God of the Bible, the one we're to relate to, was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, disloyal. Though she is your companion and your wife by covenant, you promised before God to be loyal to her, and you promised, I think, ladies, we'd include you in this, to be loyal to him. Now here's the Spirit of God. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was one with God, seeking godly offspring here, I think we would argue. Those who will follow God, obey him, conform to his image, live on mission for him. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. When you live in a convenience-driven society that's filled with apathy or pharisaical religion, this sort of thing is difficult to hear. Choose loyalty to God above your comfort. Oh, okay, Pastor, that's all over the Bible. Choose loyalty to God's people, the local church, over your comfort. Okay, Pastor, but that's difficult to hear because I thought I was the most important person, or at least my tastes were more important than everyone else's, but okay. And now God says, one of the ways you can tell if you truly love him or not is if you're willing to keep your covenant even when it's difficult in marriage, and to see marriage as an opportunity here for discipleship. If you're jumping to the New Testament, which I think we can, as an opportunity to display the beauty of Christ in self-sacrificial love, the power of the church in joyful submission to Christ. See, all of a sudden, all of life becomes relational. All of life becomes an opportunity for us to say, I know God. God knows me. God loves me. He has my first love devotion. I'm loyal to him no matter what the cost, and that impacts all of my life. So now I'm going to choose to self-sacrificially love those in my local church. I'm going to live in such a way that my hands are open to my own tastes, and my passion is to actually out-prefer one another. Romans 12:10 one another, and now I'm going to show you by the power of my commitment to my spouse that God is real to me even when it's difficult. Here we see these words, God hates divorce, and they're often quoted, but it's more than just the separation of two people, more than just the breaking of a human promise. It's actually an overflow of disloyalty to God. In other words, if you believe God exists and your greatest satisfaction is found in him, then when he says, keep your promises, be loyal to your church, be loyal to one another, when he commands these things, you say, God, you are my greatest satisfaction. God, I will choose that and lay aside my own earthly, worldly feelings. I will battle to honor you above all else. Or, in the words of the text, I'll battle to be loyal to God, loyal to his people, and loyal to my family. And you might say, yes, but what if it's difficult? What if I disagree with something that God has said in his word? Or what if my life is difficult and I think it would be easier if somehow I could be disloyal to the church or disloyal to my wife, my husband. I'll never forget my brother-in-law's roommate. We thought he was a very godly man. We hung out with him once in a while. He got married a little bit before us, had a lovely bride. They had a baby together and were sweethearts at Caronport, where I was. And we had left, we had graduated, we got married, we were engaged in ministry, and we heard back from the school. He had happened to be an intern there and was working on producing a thing to help churches minister to youth. And he had heard from God that he was to leave his wife, who was now pregnant, and be with his intern partner. And our first response was to weep. I suppose a little bit of self-righteous anger that we quickly chased away. But the right response to that is, oh brother, oh sister, and maybe you need to hear this now as you reflect on your own life. Oh brother, oh sister, how you live displays your loyalty to God or not. Not just how you sing. Oh, we want to sing. We want hearts and minds and voices engaged, but that's not the most important thing. How you live, how you respond, how you work through difficult times. And I can guarantee you that that friend of ours was wrong. And in making that choice was not only showing a disloyalty to his wife and a disloyalty to his school and his church, but also a disloyalty to God. See, what happens when you start to understand what Malachi is teaching so powerfully, this messenger from God, is this: all of life becomes relational. And now I'm saying, oh God, speak to me from your word and I will obey. Oh God, show me who to love and I will love. I'll be an imitator of God as a dearly loved child and I'll live a life of love. Or the overflow of Ephesians 3, I'll walk worthy of the calling I've received. But all of life becomes relational. And what happens, I think, sadly, in terms of the demonic attack on the church and our own lives, is he tries to make it so that we're religious but not relational. So we can make choices and have preferences that we place ahead of other people and have religious and traditional convictions that outwork what the Bible actually teaches. And we talk very little about our treasuring of God and very much about other things. And then disloyalty, not only to God, but to his church and to our families, creep in. Sometimes even in, as was with our friend, the most religious. And what's obvious on the outside, if we could only see God and his greatness, becomes something we are blinded to on the inside, and we live for ourselves and not for God. So how do we respond to this? How do we make sure we're those, not like the young man in the army who told his pastor that he never went with another girl other than his wife unless he was at least 50 miles away from her? Or the theology student who was studying with D.A. Carson, who said, I expect my wife to be completely loyal, but would you like to come with me to visit prostitutes? And when Carson spoke to him about this, he said, no, I expect her loyalty, but God will forgive me, so who cares about mine? How do we get to the place where we can actually respond? I have three responses. I know God's Spirit has been at work, because when God's Word is open, he promises that will happen. Here's three responses I would like for us all. First, let's be those who choose loyalty to God as a first love devotion. Let's stop there and stay there and never leave there. Let's be a people who say, my first love belongs to God, and I will choose that, and I will stay there. We're going to get into that, God willing, in the churches of Revelation when we finally get back there. We're going to be one who says, I want to love God with all that I am and all that I have all of the time, and I want to see life as an opportunity to display the beauty of who he is. Now, immediately, if you have a sensitive spirit, which I do, so I'm one of you, you're going to be saying, yes, but I've struggled with this. I haven't lived perfectly. I haven't loved Lori like Christ loved the church like I should. I haven't been nearly as self-sacrificial as I should. I haven't always been loyal to the local church. I haven't always, and maybe in your own life, you've been divorced or one of those things, and you're just looking, you're just going, okay, but what now? And I would just say, in the joy and confidence of the gospel, choose today who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose today who you will serve, and serve the living God. Know him personally. And if God is for you, Romans 8:32, in the context of the gospel, then everything else becomes an opportunity to live for his glory. And everything else, if you go back in that text in Romans 8, becomes an opportunity to experience the goodness of God by glorifying his son. Choose loyalty to God first and always. And choose every day, because it's so easy to lose sight of the gospel and be distracted by the world and the flesh and the devil. Choose loyalty to God. Secondly, choose to live freely today forward. Now, we've already talked about this, but I want to talk about it again, because Christianity is relational, and when we understand it as relational, then we also see that anything we do, any sin we commit, is actually a sin against God. It's not just a choice, not just something, oh, well, God will forgive me. It's now relational. But I want to say that if you're authentic in your confession, he is faithful and just and will cleanse and forgive, and you can start today. His mercies are what? New every morning. Amen? So people like you and me can go before the throne of grace in Christ, forgiven and free, no matter what our past entails. I was named after someone named Mark. You may or may not have known that. My middle name is Mark. Well, Mark's not a real good guy in the Bible, is he? He fails. The going gets tough. The hills start coming. He's on a missionary journey with the greatest missionaries that have ever existed. He's on with Paul and he's on with Barney. And they get to this point. He just goes, I don't want to go. He's rich, a little apathetic, very pathetic, and he stops. He goes home, sniveling, wimpy, rich kid. And Paul says, I never want to work with that guy again. That guy hurt me. That guy, when I needed him the most, failed me and failed the church and was disloyal to God. Now, thankfully, Barnabas gave him a second chance. And if you look at the life of John Mark, what a beautiful signal of grace for us, because when Paul was in his deepest need at the end of his life, who does he turn to? The one who had failed him earlier, but in his second chance was loyal to God and loyal to his family and loyal to the church. Live today forward. Paul would be another example of that, I suppose. Killed Christians with great efficiency and effectiveness, separated their families. And yet, when the grace of God took hold of his life, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and then straining for what is ahead. Listen, when we understand the importance of relationship, and Malachi is so strong in this, acknowledge your failures, but don't stop there. Put your full focus on Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, and live in freedom and joy if you choose him first. Let me say that one more time, because I think it's so important. Because if you're like me, you get so busy looking at your life and so busy confessing your sin and so busy lost in your own failures that you lose sight of the one who gives you freedom. It's not because you're perfect that you've been set free, right? It's because Jesus is perfect in your place. So yes, repent and live a life of repentance. But when you confess, live in freedom and full devotion. Thirdly, and I think this is important in the text, so I just bring it in here. We didn't emphasize it in the sermon. Choose your friends wisely. For them, it was the one who wasn't a part of Israel. For us, it's those who aren't first love devoted to God. Choose your close friends even more carefully. For where I have seen the greatest disloyalty to Christ and the church and to spouses is when people have chosen poorly who is closest to them. Choose a band of brothers or sisters who will love God and confront you when you fall short. choose people who spend a lot more time fixing their eyes on Jesus than focusing on problems. Choose to be that kind of friend and to live your life relationally on mission for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Choose friends who will confront you when you talk more about your tastes than about self-sacrificially loving others, and will draw you back to the most important relationship, that with God, that will overflow and impact everything else. We started where I want to end. The battle is real. I was teaching a number of pastors and college professors a couple of months ago, weeks ago, I don't know, time gets funny. And we talked about spiritual warfare because it came up in James 4 and 1 Peter 5, books we were working through. And we talked about the distraction of the demonic realm and how they're attacking and the religion that is played in Canada without relationship. And I made the comment that I think the spiritual warfare in Canada is much more intense than it is overseas. Sometimes we imagine the spiritual battle where the demons are there, or at least appear there, is much more intense. May I encourage you to realize that's not the case? And then, realizing that, to submit to God. Engage in the battle. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. And in that full devotion and loyalty to God and to the church and to your family, you will find a mission accomplishment where God will use you to draw others to him, to be a blessing, and to build his church, which then lives on mission for his glory. What a privilege. What a responsibility. What a wake-up call. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, even when it is hard-hitting. I thank you for the privilege of being able to work through your word and to know you not only gave it to Malachi for these people that were so precious to you, you have given it to us because we are your treasured possession. God, where there are those in this congregation that need your encouragement of second opportunities, please would you awaken in them a delight in your gospel and a freedom from condemnation. And where there are those who are coasting in religion and hurting others, would you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, awaken in them a first love devotion to you that overflows? And God, if there are those here that are hurting from divorce, would you bring healing and hope? If there are those here considering divorce, would you give them full commitment to you and to their spouse in a way that glorifies your name? Would you bring healing? Would you bring hope? And most importantly, would you cause us at Cloverdale Baptist Church and wherever this is being listened to be those who are fully devoted to you, first love relationship to you, loyal to you, so that it impacts everything else. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.